and thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to open up His Word and study it together. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for another day of Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word that You preserve for us so we might be able to study it, that we might learn who You are, we might know who You are, we might rejoice because of who You are, and rejoice in all the things that we have in You. We just pray this evening the Holy Spirit will take Your words and bless our hearts as we open it up and fellowship around it. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise. We ask You in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Okay, I hope everybody can hear you okay. I checked my mic earlier with Virginia, and she said we were okay, but if you can't hear me, you need to let me know, and we'll make some adjustments or whatever. And I was going to share with you, I don't know, some of you know where we live, and some of you don't. We're out in the country, we live in the woods. In fact, I live where a lot of people wouldn't want to live. I live out in the middle of a cow pasture. And, you know, we've had a lot of rain here lately. And when we have a lot of rain, we get some visits from some of our friends. You know, we live real close to the swamp and the river. And so when we get a lot of rain and the water backs up in the swamps, some of our little friends come up to see us. And a while ago, I was reading the book of Acts, looking out my living room window. And I saw two about 50-pound pigs running down the side of my fence. Somehow or another, they had got in my yard, which is fenced in, and they were having a time trying to get out. But I know they made it, so I didn't see them after a few minutes. Now, I don't know why I said all that, but I'm glad you're here with us this evening. Get your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. We're at a good place in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. And, you know, I really can't do it justice because there is so much in there that I can't I really can't get out and get to you. But what I want to do is read the verses to you and talk about it a little bit and challenge you to study them and to get these things, because especially Acts chapter 9 is important. I realize there's a lot of people don't understand that there's a change taking place in God's program. But when we started in Acts chapter 1 and we've got down to where we're at tonight in verse 19-20, you should understand that something is different, that God is doing something other that we cannot go back in prophecy and explain why it's taking place, and that is that God would save another man to make him an apostle when he's already got 12. There's just no reason for that, except that God did have a plan, but it was not in prophecy. It was something other that he had kept secret. He kept it to himself. And so in Book of Acts, he's not going to reveal all of that plan as such, but as we study it, we certainly should be able to see things that are different. And so as we've been studying the Book of Acts and we've seen the life of Saul of Tarsus in beginning in Acts chapter 9, we've seen something that's a little different, or I at least hope you have. Tonight we want to pick it up in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 20 down through verse 25 to get started. And what we're going to do is look at this man, Saul of Tarsus, as he makes a change in his life and things begin to be different and things begin to start working. And primarily what we're looking at this point in time in the first part of Acts chapter 9 is to see that what exactly does Saul of Tarsus do? What does he know? And when does he begin to teach something other that the Lord has revealed to him that's different than the 12 apostles? And so for the doctrine of it, we know we're not going to find it in the book of Acts. You're going to have to find it in the Pauline epistles. But we can see clearly some of these things changing. Oh, but the main thing we want to see tonight is in verse 20 and through 25 is this. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Now, realize we've read this already, but There's some things we need to see there and answer a couple of questions. Because there are people today that want to argue with you about, well, when does the body of Christ begin? When did the Apostle Paul begin to preach the message to the Gentiles? Did he, in fact, get saved under the kingdom program? And did he at the first preach the kingdom gospel only in the synagogues and to the Jews? And at a later time, did he begin his ministry? And if you've been around the Grace ministry for very long and been to conferences, you know that they used to have the conferences centered around a lot about the fact, well, where does it begin? Some say Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Some will say Acts chapter 11. And some say Acts 13. And some will say Acts 28. And you have all kinds of different times for the beginning of it. But the thing I want to see is this. What does verse 20 say about Saul of Tarsus? It says, and straightway. Now, what does it mean straightway? We found in verses 15 down through verse 19 where Saul learns from Ananias that God had sent him to him, and he tells him some of the things that God has chosen to do with him, and that is that he is going to be a vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, he said, and kings and the children of Israel, which is exactly backwards from the Great Commission. And as we come down through here, we find that as he receives this, he receives the Holy Spirit, he gets baptized, and it says in verse 20, and straightway he preached, or immediately, or right off the bat, he began to preach Christ in the synagogues. Now, I have to remember that Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He was a devout enemy of all those that believed that Jesus was the Christ, and he was on the road to Damascus to take those people that believed that Jesus is the Christ, and to have them put in prison, and some of them even have them killed. And so for him to stand up in the synagogues now in just a matter of a few days, and tonight we're going to look at some things about a timeline to try to date these things so we can understand what's taking place in this first part of the chapter of Acts 9 in a timeline for Saul of Tarsus. And so we're going to try to date some of those things for you. They're not dated in stone, I want to say, by the way, but just the way that I see some of these things. But immediately he begins to preach. So right off the bat we know this, that when Saul of Tarsus has this meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he continues that same fire and that determination to go headlong and to do whatever it is he believes. When he believed that those people that believed in Christ was wrong, he was bound and determined to put them in prison and have them killed. And now that he understands who Christ is, what do you think he's bound and determined to do? He preached Christ in the synagogues, the very places where he had no welcome before. But now he's going to go in there and preach Christ. Now, the question again is, well, what was he preaching? Well, we see here in verses 20, he preached that he's the Son of God. We talked about that last week, being the issue of the deity of the Lord. But in verse 22, we also found out that he preached to the Jews there throughout Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Those are two things we need to keep in mind for just a moment. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that even as the Lord Jesus Christ, as God, as deity, he was also the very Christ. He was the one that was anointed to come to the nation of Israel. So those two things go together in Israel's program, and that's not something different. So Saul of Tarsus, to begin his ministry, has to teach to the Jews that very fact. In fact, can you even today preach the grace message and leave off the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was the Messiah? We don't teach that he is a Messiah to us today, but he was a Messiah to the nation of Israel. We can't deny those two things. If you deny that, then you really have no place else to go, because we're denying who he is. So Saul of Tarsus does not get something other at this point in time that's different, because this is the basis of where he would have to begin with the nation of Israel, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Christ, the very Christ. And so when what we want to do is look at here is kind of the timeline of Saul's getting saved on the Damascus Road, and when he preaches what, and where he goes, and so forth. And until we get down to verse 31, we'll see that the first part of Saul of Tarsus' life is laid out in a schedule. So we're going to look at that. But the first thing that we want to look at is and answer these questions for you tonight is, when does Paul or Saul start preaching? And when did he go to Arabia? And when did he leave Jerusalem to go to Tarsus? So in those things, we're going to lay down a time schedule. The first one is when did he start preaching? Well, we just answered that in verse 20 straightway. In other words, as soon as he's able to get baptized with the Spirit there and baptized in water, maybe two. But he gets the Holy Spirit, we know. And we know that as soon as he's able to eat and as soon as he gets his strength and he gets his eyesight back, well, we know that he spends certain days there and straightway he's preaching Christ. So when does he, Saul of Tarsus, begin his ministry? He begins it approximately 1 year after Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. 1 year or maybe a little bit longer than that. But we know in our study from the day of Pentecost to Acts chapter, into Acts chapter 8 with the stoning of Stephen is a 1 year period of time. So it's good for you to remember that and write that down. So the beginning or the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is approximately 1 year after the day of Pentecost. And so he starts preaching immediately. He does not start a ministry some years later. Now some things change about his ministry and so forth, but he begins a ministry as soon as he's able to get up and to go. The next question was, when did he go to Arabia? And that will give us another period of time that we need to understand. Now, when you come to back to verse 21, and all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? When you read that, you get the idea that this is taking place just in a very short period of time after he's saved. And he's preaching in a very short period of time. After these people know who he is. They've heard about him. And here he is now preaching, and they're amazed at this transformation that's taken place in his life. Now, when you read verse 22, it says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Then in verse 23, and after. Now, both of those verses start off with something that indicates maybe some time passed in here. Saul increased in strength. That takes time for that to transpire. In verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So, to find out how much time there is involved in this thing, we need to go back and look at some of the other things, because people get the idea he's saved in Damascus, he stays there a few days, and he leaves. But I think there is a space between those two verses. In other words, between verse 22 and 23, there is a period of time in there, and verse 23 indicates that because it says, and after that many days were fulfilled. Well, if many days had been fulfilled, there's got to be something that happened back here previously, and a period of time has transpired in between until now. And so what is it? What is it? Well, there is a 3 year period of time involved in there. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26 are passages of Scripture where Paul is going back and talking about his conversion during his earthly ministry as he's before these different kings and different ones. And so twice he gives and recites this conversion on the Damascus Road, and in both times he gives information that helps us to know something or another. So come back to Acts chapter 26 and look at verse 15. Acts chapter 26, verse 15, we'll read down through verse 18. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen, past tense, and all those things into which I will appear unto thee. For what purpose? What is this minister? He's going to be a minister of something though that he's witnessed. But who is it to, and what is the purpose for it? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So we know right off the bat when Saul of Tarsus gets saved there in Damascus, and he's beginning to preach. We know he's preaching in the synagogues. He's preaching to the Jews. But we know clearly that the Lord has already told him that he's going to send him to the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Some people interpret that to be, well, it's not right now, but at a later period of time. I don't interpret that way, because I read it in two or three different places. about this issue, and I come to the conclusion that what he's going to do is, from the very moment that he saves him, just like he told Ananias back there in Acts chapter 9, that he's going to send him out, and he's going to be that chosen vessel, and it starts immediately. I can't find anything that indicates different than that. Okay? So I say then that back in Acts chapter 9 and in verses 22 and 23 that there's a gap in between there. And so Saul is sent to the Gentiles. Well, if he's sent to the Gentiles, the only thing that he knows when he's in Damascus here and he's preaching is obviously what he's learned from Ananias and from those people right there. He does not have the revelation of the mystery at this time. He doesn't understand all those things that he's going to write in the epistles to us later on, but he understands the things about who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Son of God, and that he is Israel's Messiah. And so that's the basis for what he's teaching. Well, he's got to have some training somehow or another. So he has a choice of doing one or two things. That is, he's got to go somewhere to a seminary. He's got to go back to the nation of Israel, to the temple, to where the chief priest is at. He's got to go somewhere or another and get this information. So where does he go to get it? Well, he tells us that he goes off out there into Arabia. And he's going to be there for 3 years. So in Acts chapter 9, between verses 22 and 23, is a period of time of 3 years. So in that 3 year period of time, he's going to get enough of information so that when he comes back to Damascus, and those days are fulfilled. Now, verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled. That many days can be 3 years. Some people say, well, that seems like that's kind of stretching it. But many times you'll find in the Bible where something is said many days, and it's quite a long period of time. But I know that there's 3 years that he spends there, and so that, I believe that's where the 3 years go. But then when the time comes for him to come back to Damascus, now he knows some more. And so when we first find him here speaking, back in verses 20 and 21 and 22, we find him confounding the Jews, and we find him amazing the Jews. But when he comes back from Arabia after 3 year Bible study, we find that when he begins to preach now, we find that something is a little different. The Jews took counsel to kill him. So what did Saul learn in that 3 years that he's come back now and he's begun to share with them, that creates such an atmosphere that they don't want him to stay alive? I believe that he gets enough of the mystery that he begins to preach some things and teach some things, and they totally reject that and they hate him. So, how long then does he stay there before he leaves? They let him down over the wall in a basket, and he goes to Jerusalem. Well, the question was this: when did he leave Jerusalem and go to Tarsus, and how long was he in Jerusalem? Well, we said he was in Arabia 3 years. It was a year from the Pentecost till the conversion of Saul at Tarsus, so we've got 4 years plus at this point in time. Well, when he goes to Jerusalem, we know that the Scriptures teaches us that he stays there with Peter for 15 days. And we know that he only stayed there for a very short period of time because it was not God's purpose for him to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. You know, many times Saul, and later called Paul, wants to go to Jerusalem, and he was warned, don't go there. And God tells him at this point in time when he goes to Jerusalem to do something or another, and he needs to heed that. And what is it that he tells him to do? Well, if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 22, this is the other passage where Saul talks about, or Paul talks about, his conversion on the Damascus Road and the things that's taken place. So in Acts chapter 22 in verses 17 through 21, and if you remember last week when I closed, this was a verse of Scripture I was looking for, and I had wrote the chapter down wrong and couldn't find it, so I'll get it tonight. Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 17 through 21. Acts chapter 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, and this is talking about exactly where we're at now in Acts chapter 9, they let him down over the basket, and he goes to Jerusalem. And so he's telling us here, when he gets there, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. And I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. When? After you stay there for 2 or 3 years, Paul, and get some education? Or maybe 2 or 3 months from now? What did he say? Now, he said, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Make haste. Do you get the idea of the Lord saying you don't need to be here in Jerusalem? Well, remember where we said now he's just come from. He's been out in Arabia for 3 years. He's got some good Bible training. He's got the revelation of the mystery from the Lord. And so he's got more information than those apostles back there have got about what God is doing. And he's going to begin to explain why some things are not going exactly like prophecy said they were. The Lord knows this, that the nation of Israel in Jerusalem is not going to receive that message. Not only that, but I'm persuaded in my mind that he knows this. He knows that that little flock, those that believe in him and trust in him, don't need to hear that message that Paul's got. They don't need to understand that. That we know this, that those 12 apostles have been baptized with the Spirit. We know that they have been sent from God. They know what the kingdom program was, and they don't need right now to be involved with Saul of Tarsus and with all the things going on in his life and the sufferings that the Lord said that man's going to receive because of who he's associated with, and that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. So get out of here, Paul, and leave. So he's going to leave. And Galatians chapter 1 and verse 18. Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, we've got a one-year period of time. We've got a three-year period of time plus a few. Now, we've only got 15 days. And Galatians chapter 1 and verse 18. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. So now we've got the timeline. We've got that laid out, and so we know exactly how much time has transpired since Saul of Tarsus has come on the scene. Now, he's going to leave Jerusalem, and we find that what he's going to do is he's going to leave there, and he's going to go someplace else. Let's come back up now to Acts chapter 9 and read the rest of the verses in down to verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 31. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, this is what we've been talking about. He goes to Jerusalem. He stays there 15 days. But when you read it in the book of Acts, as Luke records it, you kind of get a different picture of this. And you think that he went there to join himself to the disciples, and which that is what he did. But the problem is many take that to mean the apostles. And so that he went there to join up with the apostles and to get the information of what was going on in the church so that they could train him and so forth. But we find that is not the case at all. The only apostle that he saw, true apostle, was Peter. He saw James, the Lord's half-brother. And then he comes up and meets Barnabas. And evidently, Barnabas had met him somewhere before because he seems to know Saul of Tarsus. Now, we know that Barnabas is mentioned back there with the 12 in the earlier part of Acts. He was one of those people that had sold their land and gave it to that early church. And so he was part of that little flock. But he knew Saul of Tarsus somehow from somewhere, or the Lord sent him to him. I don't know. But he takes Saul and he brings him to the apostles, which is Peter and James, the Lord's brother. And so when they're there, they spend some time. Evidently, he stays with Peter, probably lives with Peter, for this time of 15 days. And that's all the time that he gets there. And so when he goes into that temple and he's praying about this situation, he gets the information from the Lord as to what he's supposed to do, rather than from the 12 apostles. So the 12 apostles do not teach him anything. He doesn't learn anything from them at this point in time, as far as doctrine is concerned. Because the Lord said, make haste and get out of here. So Saul has to leave Jerusalem, and he goes to Tarsus. He goes back home. It says in verse 30, and when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. It's actually an issue of that's where the Lord told him to go, where he needed to go, and they helped him along his way. Now the question is how much time have we got now? We still got the 1 year, we got the 3 year in Arabia, and we got the 15 days here. So we've got about a little over four years time has passed, and Saul of Tarsus has began his ministry. He's preached in Damascus. He's been into Arabia, and he's got 3 years of training with the Lord. He's got a direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's been to Jerusalem, and now he goes home. So we've got about 4 years, little 4 years plus gone by in time, and then it seems that we kind of lose track of him for a while. Some suggest that he kind of goes into retirement for a while until he comes back on the scene when Barnabas goes over there to get him and to bring him over to the church at Antioch. But you know, there's some things that we can read in the scripture that will give us some information about this, and about another time in here that we need to look at for a few moments in the early part of Saul's ministry. That is what exactly was Saul doing in Tarsus, and why did he go to Tarsus? Well, in Galatians chapter 1 again, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 21, we find that that he's talking about here this very period of time. He says in verse 21, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And where are those areas at? Well, those are the areas up there where Tarsus is at. That's where Saul of Tarsus was from. And if you back up there a little bit, starting verses 18 down through there, he gives you the timeline again, the 3 years of being in Arabia and then going to Jerusalem for 15 days. And then after that he says, I came into the regions of Syria. I said, why is that important? Well, what do you think he was doing in those areas while the other ministry is going on back in Jerusalem and so forth, which we're going to pick up and after verse 31 here in Acts chapter 9. We're going to go back and look at what's going on there. But what do you think Saul of Tarsus is doing? You know, when we started, I told you, here's a man who has a great zeal. He's on fire for whatever he believes in. I mean, if he hates you and he wants to kill you, he's going to do the best he can to do that. But then when he understands who the Lord is, he's going to do the very best that he can to make sure you understand who the Lord is. So to teach that he goes up there to Tarsus in the area of Cilicia and Syria, and he retires for a period of time, to me doesn't make sense. But when I find that there are that he says here that he was in the area of Cilicia, that's the area of where Tarsus is at, up in there, and we find that he does something there that we're going to try to prove to you from scriptures. I believe that Saul of Tarsus, when he went home, he started building churches. I think that he went out and he began his ministry. He knew what his ministry was. He knew that the Lord sent him to the Gentiles. And I believe that he went out there and he started preaching. He established churches in those very areas. And if you remember a little bit later on, after his first missionary journey, he did not go into that area at all. And later on, he talks about going back into that area and confirming the churches. If you'll turn over to Acts chapter 15, I'll show you the passage. Acts chapter 15 and verse 41. Remember what we're talking about now in the area of Cilicia, up around close to Paul's home there. And so what was Saul doing in this period of time when some say he was retired. Well, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 41, Acts chapter 15 and verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Well, what does it mean to go through an area and confirm a church? Well, number one, there's already a church there, isn't there? And he's confirming that church. Well, who started that church? As we study, we find that these are churches with Gentiles in them. This is a Gentile area. And these are some of the churches that Saul of Tarsus starts during this period of time that some refer to as a retirement period. And so when he's going to start that second journey, the first missionary journey, or apostolic journey, I should say, when Saul goes on that journey, he goes with Barnabas. But he doesn't go into that area. So he couldn't have established a church there. Well, who established those churches then? And by the time Saul of Tarsus starts on this first missionary journey, those churches are already there. So who establishes them? You know, if it's not Saul of Tarsus, it's very hard to find out who started these churches and who goes back and confirms them. And if it's not Saul, then that's a total and complete mystery. But we do know there are churches there. And we do see a little bit later on that there are some people that we come in contact in our study in the book of Acts that also are doing the work of the ministry in that area. And where did they get their teaching from? Where did they learn the message from? How did they go about establishing churches and teaching the things to the Gentiles in the area? If it wasn't from Saul of Tarsus when he was in that area at that time. So we believe that he was. There's an interesting passage of Scripture I'd like for you to turn to, Acts chapter 11. Saul has not made his first missionary journey at this time. He's still somewhere or another, where we say is in Tarsus, in the area of Cilicia. He's still in that area. And we find that as Peter goes to Cornelius, and we find the Lord turning to the Gentiles through him, and the message going out, we find a verse of Scripture that I know you've heard read many times, and we always use it to state the fact that even up to Acts chapter 11, nobody went to the Gentiles, you know, until we come to Saul of Tarsus. And the verse is this, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. And we're going to read 19 and 20. And I bet I didn't tell Virginia. Sorry. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, again, we're up in the area there where Saul of Tarsus was at. We're going to find that there are people in that area up there that are scattered from Jerusalem, but that's the Jews in that kingdom church. And so when they go up into that area, who do they preach to? Well, they don't preach to anybody but the Jews. But then verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Well, why would one group come up there and they wouldn't speak to the Grecians? They only spoke to the Jews. And here's the Greek-speaking Jews. Some say they're really Greeks, but I believe they're Greek-speaking Jews. But there's another group that will come, and they're people that's from Cyprus and Cyrene. Now, again, we're talking about somebody in an outlying area that hasn't had exposure to the grace message at this time. And we know as we're going through in Acts chapter 11, we find that this is going to wind up going over into Antioch. And when they get over to Antioch, then what's going to happen? Barnabas is going to go back up to Tarsus, and he's going to find Paul and bring him there to the church at Antioch. And that's when he's going to begin his ministry. But we have folks in the area that's already associated with, seemingly, with being able to minister and do something. Now, there are churches, and as I said, as Paul goes on that second journey, he's going to confirm the churches in that area. I believe there are churches that Saul of Tarsus established. I believe that Paul, from day one, when he got this message, was a very devout headstrong person to do what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to do. And he knew from day one that he was going to suffer great persecution for doing that. But just as he was determined to stop those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, now he's determined to preach that message. So there are churches there, and somebody had to establish it wasn't Saul. I don't know who it was. I know that when Saul has that meeting there in Acts chapter 15, you remember when he has that meeting with the church in Jerusalem about those people that's going up to Galatia and teaching the church, you know, and he has to come back there. They send letters out to some churches about that meeting. I want you to notice a group of people that they send them to. And again, this is before the second journey. Acts chapter 15 and verse 23. Acts chapter 15 and verse 23. After the meeting, it says, "And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and the elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, and Cilicia." Well, we know that the churches are in existence in Syria and Cilicia before that group comes there to Antioch, and they bring Saul there. Why do you think Barnabas went to get Saul to bring him to Antioch if he was not associated with those people that were ministering all in that area? And that actually is going to wind up being the headquarters for the Saul to work out of, the Apostle Paul, that church there in Antioch. So now we have a period of time from Paul leaves Jerusalem, he goes to Tarsus, and then in Acts chapter 15 he's going to be called by Barnabas over to the church at Antioch, where there is a growing ministry. He's going to spend a year there, so we know about that year. But how long is it from the time that he leaves Jerusalem and goes up to Tarsus until he comes to Antioch? Well, there's where we've got about a three-year period of time. So we've got, at this point in time now, we've got about 7 years. We've got about 7 years before Saul of Tarsus starts on his first apostolic journey from the church in Antioch. So if in Acts chapter 13, that's the beginning of the church, Saul of Tarsus has been saved 7 years before he begins a ministry. Well, I hope you have a problem with that as much as I do. I believe that his ministry began in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road. Just as soon as he was able, as soon as he got his sight, as soon as he was baptized, he was filled with the Spirit, and he straightway began to preach. Now, I didn't preach the message of the mystery today. I understand that, but he began his ministry. And so that's the reason I believe in Acts chapter 9 we have the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, there are some time schedules in the book of Acts that we're going to look at a little bit later on. But what I'm going to do tonight is take a few minutes and lay down some of my understanding about these times. And especially the book of Acts. I break it up into four sections, and it's real simple, and it's just the fact of just reading it that way. But if you'll look in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8 and verse 40, we have a one-year period of time. That period of time is covered by the Apostle Peter. So there's the first time period that we've got in the book of Acts. It's a one-year period of time. And Peter is the man on the scene. Okay. Now, the next time period is this. That's Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. And that's where we're going to start studying next week. If the Lord doesn't... I'm sorry. I skipped one. The next one is Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And that runs through Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, where we stop. And that is a time period of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. That is a three-year, and I'm going to put three-year plus because it could be a little over 3 years, but at least 3 years and a little bit more. That's the time of Saul in the book of Acts. Now, as I started to say, next week in Acts chapter 9 and verse 32, we're going to start studying there, and that time period is going to run from Acts 9:32 to Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. Acts chapter You got it, Virginia. Okay. Acts chapter 9 and verse 32 through Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to leave Saul of Tarsus, and we're going to leave him because he's in that, what some people call that retirement period up there in Tarsus. We don't know anything about him, unless we take those verses I read a while ago and say he was doing the work of the ministry. I believe he was. But we're going to jump over to Peter. Now we're going to have a time period of another 3 years. So from Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to Acts chapter 11, verse 18, Peter is the one that we're dealing with, and that's a 3 year period of time. Now, the next period of time is going to be Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through Acts chapter 28 and verse 31 to the end of the book. And that's going to be a time period when we're going to deal with Paul. Paul the Apostle. That's a time period of approximately 22 years. And you can add all those up and come up with the years. But after Acts 28:31 closes out, we know it doesn't close out with Paul's death. And we know some of his writings. We can date those writings pretty well. So after Acts 28:31, there is a period of time where Paul ministers for another 3+ years. And maybe longer. But that's kind of a time thing that I come up with looking at the scriptures. Now another thing is from the time that Saul of Tarsus is converted onto the road to Damascus until his first trip with Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 is 10 years. I believe I said 7 years a while ago, but I left off the 3. So that's about 10 years in there. So these are just things for you to think about. And as I said again, that's not written down in stone, and I may be way off on that. Now, let's come back for a second, and what we're going to do is look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 32 tonight, and I'm going to just give you a quick overview of the what's going on here, and then we'll pick that up next week in our study. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 35, we have, as I said, going back to Peter again. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back down to the area out from Jerusalem where Philip the evangelist was at. And Philip had been preaching in that area from there up to Caesarea. And so what Peter's going to do now is he's going to go through those quarters. And there's three things that's going to happen from Acts chapter 9, verse 32, over to chapter 11. There's three events that takes place. And what these events are going to do is they're going to take us back to the issue now of God's going to explain, or at least I believe this, God is going to explain to the nation of Israel that God is not just throwing Israel aside. Israel is God's people. He wants them to be saved. He's not going to preach the kingdom message anymore because repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand is not an option. But the issue of an individual Jew being saved is. And God still has that message going on for them to be saved, and He wants them to be saved. And what He's going to do in verses 32 through 35, He's going to take this thing about the healing of Enos, who has palsy and he is in his bed. And we'll go through some of the things about that and see how that relates to the nation of Israel in a sickened condition and being raised up. And that's what God wants to do with Israel. Then in verses 36 down through verse 43, we have Peter dealing with Tabitha or Dorcas. And this is a reference to the nation of Israel again, being in a situation where there is some good people doing a lot of good works, but they're dead, and they're going to be resurrected. And so they're resurrected to work in the kingdom and do the things in the kingdom. And both of those events has a lot to do with the issue of going back in Matthew and understanding the gospel that Israel was given to preach under the John the Baptist and under the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let's go back and look at just one passage in closing, and then you can read these verses and get ready for next week. But let's come back to Matthew chapter 10. You know, everything that you read in your Bible has a purpose and has a reason. If we can just study it and get it out without letting someone tell us, Well, you need to retranslate that, or you need to change something or another to understand it. Don't do that. The verses mean what they say, and they all have a purpose. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 7 and 8, and all of you know these real well, but this is the Lord Jesus Christ, as He commissioned those 12 apostles and He sent them out. And He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the first thing He says do? Heal the sick. You cleanse the leper. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And He goes on down through and lists a whole lot of other things that they were to do. The point is, in our lesson tonight, though, in Acts chapter 9, we're dealing with that issue of the sickness and the dead. And that's part of the good news for the nation of Israel. One day that sickness is going to be gone. The Lord wants them to be healed. He wants them to be a nation that's free from disease. He wants them to be a people that offers praise to the whole world. And we'll look at some verses about that. But then also He wants those people that to know that if you've died and you were a believer and you was trusting in the Lord, you're going to be resurrected. And so what's happening is when He sends these apostles out, the kingdom is the message. So it's heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead. Now, I know you're going to run into people today who will ask you, well, don't you believe that God heals today? And my answer is, God can heal today, and God may heal today. But we're not living in the time when the day that God tells us to go in and lay hands on people for the healing of them and for raising the dead and for cleansing the leper, because that's a kingdom message. That's part of the kingdom message. And so in the rest of Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to Acts 11 and so forth, we're going to look at those issues of what it is that God's going to let Israel know about their future and their conditioning, what He still wants for them. Because as He begins to deal now with Paul, and his message begins to go out, we're going to find a lot of things happening with that little group of people there, that little flock. They're going to begin to suffer real bad. Eventually, Saul and Paul and those others, they're going to have to go around and take up a collection for those people, because all that they have done and given up for the kingdom is not working. And so they need to understand what God is doing, and God reveals a little bit of that in the book of Acts through Luke to help them to understand that the program's going to change, but God's not just throwing you out with the water, so to speak. And God's going to take care of Israel. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day of Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for our great salvation. We thank You for all the wonderful blessings that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, as we study Your Word and understand all that we have in You, we realize we don't need anything, that we have everything. And so we do thank You for all this. We thank You for the folks that are faithful to join us. And we thank You for those that help us and that help our ministry and those that are ministering for You as you try to get the gospel of the grace of God out to a lost and dying world. And we'll just be careful now to give You all the praise. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for His sake we pray. Amen.